Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview. My name is Louis Mendes. I hope you guys are all very well on this week's show. We will, of course, be looking ahead to Saturday's home clash with Oxford United at the Valley, the return of former Addicks boss Carl Robinson to SC7. Joining me to look ahead to that game, a man who's been busy in his chair, Mr. Nathan Muller. How are you doing, Nath?
Living the dream, mate. Sorry, mate, I clicked the wrong button then. Sorry for the delay. Yeah, not bad, mate, not bad. Another week has passed and buzzing for, you know, the mid-table sort of clash. Well, not mid-table for them, but, you know, looking forward to trying pushing in that top 12.
Yeah, I mean, that's very much the big part of this season now, the passage of time, just waiting for it to be over. And also joining us, wishing their life away, is Tom Wallion. How are you doing, Tom?
Not too bad, mate. Yeah, yourself?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, no one ever asked me. Thank you, Tom. Yeah, deep down, get deep into my soul. I'm fine. I'm just a bit bored of the season now, but that's fine. I can live with that. All laying the groundwork for next year. That's what I'm talking about now. So on this week's show, we'll be discussing the injury crisis at the Valley. It's been a while since we've had one, to be fair, but we've got a proper one now. So we're going to hear from Johnny Jackson on that. We're also going to hear his thoughts on the likes of Daniel Carney and Mason Burstow, the youngsters who've been playing up front for us recently. Johnny, we'll also talk about the goals from midfield that we need after Elliot Lee finally got back on the score sheet on Saturday. So we're going to talk about the Upbeats Walk coming up. Going to hear from Simon from the Fence End Pod. Give us the lowdown on Oxford United, and then Jacko will preview the game himself. I mean, before we hear about Johnny, then obviously, I mean, it's nice to be back at home, I think, Tom, after those two defeats where, you know, on another day, we probably could have taken 2 points, but we only got ourselves to blame for the fact that we didn't. So it is nice to get back to the Valley where generally our form's been pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. They're two difficult away games. As you say, it would have been nice to come away with a couple of points, and obviously potentially more than that as well. I think, especially the Wigan game, you probably don't necessarily go into that expecting us to come out with anything. But the manner of the game, you know, going ahead and then, as you say, conceding such a poor goal, you're obviously disappointed. But as you say, the home record this season generally has been very good. We've beaten a lot of good teams down here. So, yeah, getting someone to our patch seems to be a very different game. Obviously, the striker problem is continuing and that's going to remain an issue, of course. But if we've managed to iron out some of those mistakes that cost us goals in those away games, combined with our current home form, hopefully a decent-sized crowd down there, then, we're a very different team at home. So, yeah, it would be nice to try and get back on track. As you say, season's pretty much written off, but that doesn't mean you don't go into games wanting to win.
Yeah, I mean, that is the important thing now for the rest of this season, Nath, is that can't just lay down, we can't just give up. I mean, you do that, you find yourself getting sucked into a relegation battle if you're not careful, but certainly it won't be the sort of momentum-building second half of the season we're hoping for. Now, of course, we're well aware of the struggles we're having up front in terms of injuries, which we're going to hear from Johnny in a few moments' time. But it doesn't mean we just give up. I mean, we want to take some of those positives out of the performance away at Wigan, even though we threw it away again. And like I say, only ourselves to blame in terms of conceding silly goals. But there were good points out of that as well. And maybe a 15-20 minute spell at Bolton as well.
Yeah, I think like with the Wigan game, it was weird really, because when I saw the team sheet and saw it was probably going to be Mason and Lecco up front, as you know, as much as they're good in their own, have their own good attributes. I think obviously Lecco for me isn't a centre forward anyway. Said that on the show after the game and on Sunday. And obviously Mason's still learning, so I think scoring that early probably was worse for us really, because then they've got such a big squad and such a good squad. to come into it. But yeah, it's nice to be back and at home. And like you were saying, we don't really want it to fall into one of those lulls at the end of the season where it's just a bit dull. But there is a risk of that happening. But if we don't sharpen up and we don't put in the performances, and not only could we, as you rightly say, get sucked into a relegation fight, which is mad, really, thinking about where I was thinking we were going to be at the beginning of the season. But we are where we are, and we've got to remember as well, is Jacko's going to want to start planning for next season, and a lot of players are out of contract, and it's a time for them to put on a performance to show Jacko that they want to be part of this, whether or not, I know Jacko's probably got a few ideas of who he wants to keep, but there might be some on the periphery where they can earn their sort of contracts next year. So yeah, hopefully we can get a good couple of wins, try and end the season on some sort of high, but it's just a bit difficult at the moment. It's just a bit meh, isn't it, really? I mean, yeah. So many times this season you've said, oh, we could have done this, or if only our set pieces were better, if only we took our chances, and it just seems like a groundhog day, really. So long await the end of the season for the Ipswich game, and then we can roll on to the next one.
Yeah, not too many more games to go now. We're into the final 15, which is good. Like quarter of a season, or a third of a season even. Right, let's hear then from Johnny Jackson. We did mention we've been having issues. We found out when we got to Wigan that we were going to be without the likes of Chucks and EK and Connor Washington with muscle problems. Scott Fraser was out with COVID as well. Of course, we know about Jaden Stockley. So how are we looking ahead of this home game with Oxford on Saturday? Starting off, Jacko asked during a press day today, is there any chance that Scott Fraser may have returned from his bout with COVID?
He's not been back with us with the group yet, because he's still been symptomatic up to today. So whether that's going to change between now and Saturday, obviously, I'm not so sure. There's no getting away from it. We are depleted in certain areas of the pitch, and big important players for us in those areas as well. So it makes it more difficult, but obviously it's opportunities for other people, and obviously having to go about our play and our the way that we're going to go about trying to win the game slightly different perhaps than we would if those guys were available.
Demi, you're going to have to continue to be creative with your team selection. I know Mason and Daniel Carney came in. You know Mason's always going to put in a shift for you. Daniel came in for his opening for his bow, senior bow. It must have been pleasing for him. But in a perfect world, obviously, you probably wouldn't have had to do it just yet. But more creative team selections coming up.
Well, that's it. Yeah, those guys aren't available. So there's an opportunity for someone else somewhere else, isn't there? So, obviously done a lot of work this week on some things, and we have to try and find a way of beating a good Oxford side with what we have available to us.
So it doesn't look like it's getting any better soon. I mean, it's a problem. I mean, it is a tough one. You take your first free choice strikers out of any team, and you're going to struggle. And then the likes of Scott Fraser we've brought in, in January and came on against Bolton and looked the real deal in his first proper cameo. I know he'd had a few minutes before that, but all of a sudden, all those little inklings of things that could be good about what's happened in January with Chucks and Scott coming in, they've just been wrenched away from us again. So we're stuck again in this issue where we are depleted, and I think it's showing in terms of going forward in particular.
Yeah, it's annoying, isn't it, because we're kind of familiar with this feeling over the last few seasons with us not signing enough players and having that sort of injury crisis because players were being asked to play too much and then having to play all kinds of youth players as a result of that. But it, as you just said there, this season, whether we bought well or not, people have obviously debated over the summer, but we certainly brought bodies in. We then strengthened in the areas we needed to in January. Maybe not quite enough, but we did get players through the door. So I think largely we're well stocked in a lot of the positions now. So the fact that we're now struggling to play players just shows this one really is a bit of bad luck as opposed to those other seasons where it was, underinvestment into the team. And yeah, you couldn't write it, could you, really, that all of them would have those different issues and all be out. And it is a concern because obviously, I think, was it Wimbledon was our last home game? We put three away. We didn't play brilliantly, but we scored three goals and got the win. And then those two away games, scoring those couple of goals, but getting no points. I think I said it on one of the pods maybe a week or two ago that we at the moment, because our defensive lapses and because we are conceding silly goals, we're needing to score a couple of goals at least to win a game. And when you haven't got your three strikers available for you, that's obviously going to be 10 times harder. And yes, we got Mason, but again, still very young. You know, I know he's done well in games, but not fair to rely on him. And then you've got Kanu, who obviously came on for a very brief cameo. But again, no way we should be playing him at this stage in his career. So it is a little bit difficult. I know we've got people like Leko or DJ that could come in and play there. And I know they've played there in the past, but they're not what you would call out and out strikers. So it is a problem. I think I'm obviously glad we're not as close to that relegation zone as we were a few weeks ago, because then I'd be nervously looking over my shoulder. The reality is that probably whether we win or lose, it's not going to make a huge amount of difference. But as we all said, you don't want the season to tail off. You do want to try and build some momentum for next year. And ultimately, you want these players fit and ready to go, to know that you can rely on them, because, you know, contracts are up in the summer and stuff. And I think certainly in Chucks, Connor and Jade, and they're players that we probably all agree we want to stay next year. So yeah, it's a frustrating one for Saturday. It'll be interesting to see what Jacko goes with, whether he tries a change of formation, which I know he's been trying to avoid. But yeah, just our luck at the moment, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of Chucks and Ike in particular, it does, I guess, come back to the big question when we signed him. I did ask Jacko, I remember, away at Cheltenham, about whether he'll be in a position to be starting more games than he certainly did during his last spell here. And, you know, Johnny said he wants to work towards that. And he did go a couple of 90 minutes at the start of his second spell here, Nath. But there's always that deep lying concern that he is a bit injury prone, you know. And, you know, I'm hoping we're going to be able to rely on him as one of our main strikers in the next three and a half years. But there's always this slight concern at the back of your mind.
Yeah, of course. And I think, like you said, with his injury record, it's always going to pose questions. But I don't know what the injury is, but I don't know if it's a recurrence of previous ones or if it's just the new one. Because if it's a brand new injury, it could be anything. It just could be unfortunate. But if it's a recurring one, obviously they have to try and manage him. And like you say, we want to try and keep him in the team as much as we can, because when he plays, he does something, whether that's barge a referee or score a goal, I don't know. But he's obviously better in the side. And you can see when him and Chucks aren't there, it's noticeable. I mean, obviously Connor's good, but again, he's not that sort of presence up top. So, and he sort of works the channels a bit more. So I just think we look very... with our options, even if Connor was fit, we looked quite lightweight to play one up top, or, you know, Connor's not one to hold up the play. So it's difficult. It's difficult how we're going to try and do something in this system that Jacko wants us to play in, which I think it can work if we have the right players. But I've said multiple times, we don't have the squad when he first come in to do that. We did have some good results. So it's just difficult, really, because we just haven't got that presence. Maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll, like Tom said, maybe we'll throw a spanner in the works and play, I don't know, a 4-3-3, but with one as a false nine. And then we haven't got an out-and-out striker, but I can't see that happening. Mm. But it's going to be difficult, because I just don't know where we're going to get hold of that ball and bring others into play.
Yeah, I mean, there was one interesting point, I guess, that came up in the fans bar, actually, on Saturday after the game up at Wigan. Now, of course, you know, when we were listening to Jacko's pretty much this time last week, he was sort of saying, well, there was no fresh injuries out of the game with Bolton. But I think he knew probably at the time fully well that the likes of Chucks and Connor and weren't going to be available for this game, but decided to play it close to his chest. Now, I mean, that's something we've seen a lot. Bo used to do it all the time. There were times where we actually knew that they had players injured, but it was an agreement that he wasn't going to be said. Like Igor going into the closing stages of the promotion season, it was quite well known sort of behind the scenes that Igor was unfit, but Bo had made it clear he wanted to keep it close to his chest. And Jacko obviously does this again, but, you know, one of the chaps we spoke to, I think it was Niall I spoke to up at Wigan Station on the way back, he was a bit upset that he felt like Jacko could come out and be more honest with the fans about that. I mean, is it about finding that balance between not wanting to show your hand to Liam Richardson and the Wigan team, but also, you know, not wanting to have loads of Charlton fans travelling thinking everything's going to be fine and then find out an hour before kickoff that there's no strikers?
Yeah, there is a certain amount of loyalty to the fans, and obviously if you're spending a lot of money, you know, trains are expensive, tickets can be expensive, you know, it is a long day out, and when, you know, some of these people are doing it week in, week out, obviously they've done two trips to the northeast, the northwest in a week. You know, that's a lot of money to lose, and if you go there, you know, expecting a full strength 11 and not getting that, you've got a right to question that. I think, you know, Jacko, ultimately the only thing on his mind is the results. You know, he has to focus on the results, and they take priority. And if, you know, getting in the head of the other team's manager or not giving tactics away to the other team is part of that, then I don't necessarily blame him. You know, I think there's a certain amount, as I say, of goodwill between fans and manager, and you want that relationship to be there, but ultimately he has to get results. And if he picks Akanu and Burstow up front and they win, nobody's having that problem, are they? So it is a difficult one. Obviously, particularly at this stage of the season, for fans to be travelling, it's just amazing to see. I know the numbers weren't huge at either of those two games, but the people that did go, it's an amazing effort, you know, when we've got nothing to play for, to still go up to those grounds and do it. And they deserve a huge amount of credit for that. But ultimately, Jacko has to play the right game for himself and about winning the games, which is his priority.
Yeah, I see we're coming up to something like 900, maybe even 1,000, to be going up to Sheffield Wednesday in a week or so's time, which is an absolutely remarkable return. As you say, the support's been, you know, good in very trying times this season. I mean, look, when we come into this Oxford game, so we know we're going to be without those two. We'll talk a bit more about Kanu and Burstow in a few moments' time, Nath, because we've got Jacko speaking about the pair of them. But, you know, Jonathan Liko was one that we spoke about. And, I mean, he's... I prefer him wide. I know he played up top a lot more during his first spell at the club, but I prefer him wide. And I do think, like, when there's not at least one of the big chaps, Stockley or Anike, to play off, I think Connor would struggle anyway, but I think Jonathan's probably struggling a little bit. I mean, the hold-up play is non-existent up top at the moment.
Yeah, of course it is. And I think it's weird because, like, I know there's a player in there, but I just think this time around, I just don't think he's had the impact that obviously we wanted, he wanted, Jacko wanted. And I just find it a bit strange because I just don't think he fits in the system at all. And we had it similar with Charlie Kirk, and Charlie Kirk got bombed out because he didn't fit in the system, I think, in my opinion anyway. So I don't know if we didn't, you know, if we couldn't send him back or, you know, I don't know. But I just find it weird because he's not a striker. He can't play with his back to goal. If he plays up with a target man, it could work, but we haven't got that. And he had that good game at right wing back, didn't he, against Sunderland when we first tried it. But, you know, it was one game. And I just think when he comes on, you look him on the bench and you go, right, he's got pace. He's a maverick, as I think Bowyer called him once. You know, he can do something from the unexpected, but he's just not done anything for me, really. And it's just... when you see him up top, like, yeah, if the ball goes over the top, and yeah, he might be able to get onto it. But I just find sometimes he slows the game down. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes I think his feet move quicker than his head, and it's just like he just doesn't really know what to do. But like, don't get me wrong, when he played up front with Lyle the first time around, I think he was really effective. But I just don't know. He just hasn't seemed to get that consistency. Which, to be fair to him, no one's really been consistent apart from a couple. You know, Dobbo, and I know Claire's made a couple of boo-boos recently, but he's been quite consistent playing at centre-half. So, yeah, it just frustrates me with Liko a little bit. He is better out wide, I agree. But again, we're not playing that formation. You know, like, I mean, if we played 4-3-3, imagine if Kirk on his day, if we the node we'd play that was at Crewe, and Leko on his day, and we know Scene, either side, then, yeah, it could probably work. But then we had that predicament earlier in the season when we were... the midfield and the wingers were so far away from Jaden. It was just one ball up to Jaden and see what we could do in and around it, which wasn't working. So, yeah, it looks like he probably will start up front. And he'll probably bang an hat-trick and shut me up, won't he? Which I hope he does. But, yeah, it's just difficult because he doesn't suit the way that we're playing at the moment. He's just not really affecting games.
Lovely stuff. Right, well, we have been speaking, of course, about the fact that we're struggling a little bit in terms of options up top. We saw on Saturday Daniel Carnu, the 17-year-old striker, has been banging him in at academy level so far this season. He came on for the last 10, 15 minutes or so at the DW Stadium for his senior debut. Now, of course, he replaced Mason Burstow, who himself is still very new to the team, but he will be off to Chelsea at the end of the season, officially back on loan, of course, after we sold him to the Blues on transfer deadline day. So Jacko was asked during the press day today whether he thinks that Daniel Carnu can be seen as a replacement for Mason Burstow for this time next season.
I think it's really early to say with Dan. He's doing great things with the under-18s, but going from under-18 football to first team League One football is a huge step, and you know, he needs to make the progressions from 18s going to Anthony Hayes's group there with the 23s and have the same impression that he does at 18s football to get his opportunities. You know, I'm really pleased with Dan and that he's got his opportunity. But obviously, you know, with our aspiration for where we want to be, you know, it's small steps for someone like that. And you know, if they're making all the progressions and scoring goals and impacting it along the way, then they will get thrown in. We've shown that if they're good enough, but. You know, on the back of a good season with the under-18s, it's not enough to say he's now the ready-made replacement for someone like that. And Mason himself, you know, obviously he's gone to Chelsea now, so he won't be with us next year. But even if he was, you know, he would still be someone who's played a handful of games and has got no experience at the level and. You know, it's all happened really quickly for him, but you know, that doesn't mean that you're necessarily ready to be sort of that one who's going to, you know, play every week and fire a team to promotion.
There we go. I mean, Jacko's very honest about the fact, and it's not just for Daniel, it is for Mason as well, Tom, is that in normal circumstances where there's no injury crisis, I mean, Mason will probably be a bench player at best, and that's no indication on him, that's just the fact that he's 18 years old, and now Daniel's getting closer as well for the same thing. So I mean, it's we have to remember the age and experience of these players when we try and take into account the fact that Daniel's only had 15 minutes or so, but Mason obviously does struggle to impact games at times, you know, even though he does score the odd goal.
I think I said it the night he got sold. I was absolutely stunned that Chelsea bought Mason Burstow. And I don't mean that. It probably sounds awful. And I don't mean it as a criticism of him at all. And he may go on to be one of the best strikers in the world, for all I know. But he's so young and he's so raw. And he's had so little game time at League One level, let alone anything bigger than that. And so they've clearly bought potential and they've taken a bit of a punt on him. And if it works out, then fair play to him. And I don't begrudge him the move at all. But he's somebody that I expected would, you know, for another 2 or 3 years be around League One, trying to kind of hone his craft and develop and bulk up and all those other things that a player of that age needs to do. So I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't see Carnu as a regular in the first team for another 2 or 3 years at least. And I know he's got an amazing goal scoring record in youth football, but it is youth football. And even just since I've been doing this podcast, which I don't know how long it is, 4 or 5 years, we've seen so many strikers not make it, you know, and people, Joe Piggott, good example, came in, flopped, went off, rebuilt his career somewhere else, now a very good proven League One striker. Carlin came in, flopped, went out again, honed his craft, came in, has played in the Premier League, decent Championship striker. You know, there are probably countless other examples. And for these two, I think it's very easy to get carried away. Firstly, because they've come through our youth again, and that comes with such a big reputation. And obviously, we love that. Secondly, because Mason has burst onto the scene. He has scored goals in games across all the tournaments that he's played for Charlton this season. But, you know, Nath said it the other week. You look at some of his runs, they're the sort of runs that a youth player makes. Like, he hasn't got that game intelligence for men's football yet. And that's going to take time. And as I say, it's not a criticism of him at all, because he's just learning that. So it's really difficult. I'd love to see Carnu break through. I'd love to see him get some more minutes at the back end of this season when we're not playing for too much. But at the same time, to expect him to start leading the line for Charlton in the next couple of years, I don't think anybody's going to be happy with that, including him, because he doesn't need that pressure on himself. So we have to be patient with these young lads, and we have to give them time to grow, because their development is key. And if we get that right at this stage, when they hit sort of 22, 23, you then get a much better player as a result of that. So, yeah, interesting to see what game time they both get between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, in particular then for Mason on Saturday, because we're assuming at this rate, Nathan, that he's going to start. I mean, I don't know if you would see a way you could get around that and not put that pressure on Mason at this point. But if you do have to start Mason on Saturday, what would you be telling him to do differently from what he's done so far this season?
I think it's inevitable that he's going to be starting. I mean, in terms of, obviously, physicality, you can't change that overnight. He's got a leap on him. So, I mean, he's okay on the leap. But I just think, well, as Tom said there, that one of the, when we went to Cheltenham away it was, his runs were quite straight. So if you watch Mason's runs and then you watched Washington's runs, they're chalk and cheese. But that's because Washington is a more, obviously, seasoned pro, game intelligence is good, knows how to get on the shoulder. And Mason's got pace to burn. So I think he just needs to sort of see where his runs are and more intelligent runs. So the way I saw it was the ball was going to go right clip and his runs were just straight. So thinking that the ball's going to go over, he's going to get onto it, he's going to be through and go, which might happen. But a lot of these defenders in this division are big bulking. They know how to defend their box. They know how to, you know, to drop a little bit deeper when he's there because they don't want to let him in behind. So he's just got to be a little bit more clever with his runs. But for me, I think the problem's going to be is just that physicality, which I think last few games I've seen, is that's what we've lacked. If we're not playing through the thirds, which some of the times we skip, which is fine to do it every now and again, but if we just clip it time and time and time again, Mason's not going to be able to shrug off a big old bulky centre half and like Chucks could or Jaden could or something like that. So I don't think he's got too much wrong. I mean, like Tom said, he's still learning, but I just think his runs could be that little bit more cuter. But you give him a chance in the box, like he's proved, you know, yeah, Pepper John Trophy and whatnot. You know, he has got an eye for goal. So I think we need to get in areas so we can get him the ball to do those sort of goals in the, you know, 18 yard box and let him finish. But at the moment we're playing into a way where we're trying to encourage him to build up the play, which I don't think suits his game.
Lovely stuff. Well, what has happened this week and what we need to see more of course, is midfielders scoring goals. Elliot Lee managed to bag one up at Wigan the other day. And again, Jacko was asked during the press day today if he hopes that we'll start to see a few more goals from the midfield, starting, of course, with the fact that Elliot has got one on Saturday.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm really pleased for Elliot. Obviously, he came out of the side for a few games there, came back in and impacted the game. I've been encouraging him and all my midfield players, and especially the attacking ones, to start contributing with goals. I think it's really important. Someone as good as Elliot, you know, he needs to be scoring more than three. Someone as good as Alex Gilby, who gets into positions, you know, they need to be adding goals. Albie Morgan needs to add goals to his game. He can't just obviously rely on the forward. So it's something that we work on a lot and that we talk about a lot. And obviously, you know, myself, who played in that position and, you know, like mucked in with the goals, it's something that I'm, you know, speaking to them often about and highlighting that that's the thing that gets you, sort of elevates you, you know, beyond the level, really. So they're all aware of that. They're all aware of what I want from that role. They've got the license there to go and join in and get in the box, exactly like Elliot done for that goal. Great goal that we scored there, all the stuff that we work on. So he was pleased with that one. I was pleased for him. And hopefully that's the start of a few more.
Yeah, I mean, that's a point we've been banging home for a long time, Tom, is that we ain't been scoring goals from midfield. Now, you know, Elliot got one Saturday. I mean, the one I want to see add more is Alex Gilby. I thought once he broke his duck, you know, once he got that one against Ipswich, I thought, right, here we go, he's going to go on a run. But he's missed some good chances. You know, hit the post at Portsmouth, hit the bar at Wigan. But at some point, he needs to start sort of adding these to his game again, because when we are light up top, players like Gilby could be the difference between getting those extra goals that we need.
Yeah, I think even when the strikers are fit, I don't think the midfielders have done enough. I mean, I think Elliot Lee's got two or three, hasn't he? Gilby, has he still only got the one? I think Ben Purrington's probably got three or four. So yeah, there just hasn't been enough from midfield, and that's not just this season. There was a season when, I think when Boya and Jacko first kind of took over or were involved in the coaching, I remember both of them talking about getting Jake further forward, and Jake went on a lovely little run towards the end of that season, getting a few goals, and then obviously got his injury, which sort of hampered that. But I thought, right, with those midfielders in charge, they're going to be encouraging them to get forward, because obviously Boya had a decent scoring record and Jacko did all right as well. But for whatever reason this season, that just hasn't happened. And obviously Morgan wasn't in the squad, then came back, got his one, nothing's really happened. As you say, Gilby got his at, was it Ipswich, and then nothing really. Lee's got a couple, but I think again we'd expect a little bit more, and it's difficult. And I know that's not everything about their game, they're doing a lot of work defensively and a lot of work moving the ball around as well, but they do need to score more goals, and we do expect more from them. And again, if we think ahead to next season, you know, that's something that they're gonna need to work on, whether it's formation, whether it's positioning, whatever it is. We need more of it, because, as you say, both, I think, Gilby in particular and Elliot Lee are in that sort of position where they should be driving forward with the ball, having shots from the edge of the area, even getting into the box and scoring goals as well. So, yeah, I think it's definitely an area that's disappointed us this season, and it's something that they need to work on and get more consistency into their game, because they've all got it in them, as they've shown, just nowhere near enough and nowhere near consistently.
Yeah, it must be so frustrating for Jacka as well, Nath, because, I mean, he was the epitome of a midfielder who liked to get goals. You know, there's a couple of times I think he was our top scorer during his time at the club. So, I mean, he surely is the best placed man to make sure that these guys start pitching in when they need to. I think it's part of our game plan as well. You know, we get the wing backs bombing forward, and there is license as well for at least a couple of the midfielders, because Dobbo will happily sit deep, and a couple of the midfielders just get in there.
Yeah, I think sometimes we don't fill the box enough for me. I think, you know, there've been times. I mean, if you look at the, like Tom mentioned, Ben Purton, you know, it's not like he's gone on a mazy run and smacked it top bins. He's gone round the back stick, got in the box, and he's been in the right place at the right time. DJ done it with a header. Elliot done it against Wigan. I just don't think we do that enough. And I think Gilby's obviously got it in his locker. He's, you know, he offers so much more in terms of industry and energy and stuff like that. So it's just converting that energy into filling the box a bit more. There's so many times we'll have the ball midway into the opponent's half, and we've just got like one player, and it's predictable, and we always play in front of teams. But yeah, I just think Gilby, I think what Gilby's got one assist, Elliot's got three goals, four assists, Morgan's got three assists, so they're doing that bit. But between, if you think of what Jacko's main three that he started with, was Gilby, Elliot and Dobson, four goals, it's not a lot. And Tom mentioned it, you know, look at the, I know it's a completely different team and we might not see that team, a similar team for a long time, but Aribo scored goals, Cullen popped up with a couple, Billitcott popped up with a couple, you know, so Jake, as he said, so I just think we just need to be a bit more brave and just get in the box, because, yeah, every time you get in the box, you're not going to score. Of course you're not. But there's so many times where the ball will fall, or someone will, you know, skew up their clearance and it will fall to you, and then you're just tucking it away. And it's just goals like that. There's really scrappy goals that we don't seem to be getting from the midfield areas.
Yeah, something that we need to improve on. Right, let's have a break here on Charlton Live, the big match preview. When we come back, we've got your tweets and emails.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there. Pierce is there. Bowers with a header. And it's done. Yes!
Oh, it's in!
Oh, he's got it! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Charlton has scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, Tom!
Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley!
Oh, my word! Oh, my word!
Charlton Live.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview, looking ahead to Saturday's home game with Oxford United at the Valley. Can't wait for that one. Look forward to see Carl Robinson again back in his back home, isn't he? I always feel like this is where he belongs. No, probably not, to be fair. But he's you know, it'd be nice to see him. Let's have a look at a couple of messages that have come in. McSquared, now this is a good question, emailed in. Any realistic hopes of reaching the playoffs disappeared when Jaden Stockley got injured? Discuss. I mean, is it that simple? It does feel like that it's played a massive part, you know, ever since that game before. Was it just before Christmas that he played without Connor and then he came back the other way round? And, you know, we haven't seen him since. And it has been a massive trouble. You know, and not just going forward. It's in our own box as well, defending Tom. He's a massive, massive part of this team.
It's definitely one of the key reasons we won't make the playoffs. I think, in hindsight, as you say, it was just before Christmas. If we'd have got a striker in a bit earlier in the January transfer window and they'd hit the ground running, then there's every chance that that might have made a difference. And I think certainly going into January, we weren't out of the playoff race. So I don't think necessarily the moment he got injured was it. But I think the knock-on effect from that and then the slow business in January as a combination has been the problem. I haven't looked back at the goals or lack of goals we scored over that time. And I know a couple of games were cancelled and stuff. But I certainly think kind of after the Ipswich and Cambridge week in December when we beat both of those teams, there was then probably 6 weeks that I think probably decided our season. And in that 6 weeks, we had games called off. We had Jaden's injury and we didn't really bring anybody in. And I think coming out of the other end of that, I think we lost a couple of people to COVID as a result of the new variant at that time as well. I think off the back of that 6 week period, that's probably why we're not going up. But yeah, as the email said there, Jaden in both boxes and just around the team as well, obviously got made captain. And I know it was some people queried the decision and whether a striker should be captain, but you can see him marching around the pitch, shouting at players, encouraging players. And that makes a big difference as well and doesn't go unnoticed. So yeah, a huge loss. I know last time he played, he said he wanted to end his career with Charlton, didn't he? So I'd be more than happy to see him sign up for another few years if he can get back fit.
Yeah, it looked like he might accidentally be doing it at this rate. It's taken him so long to get back, but hopefully he won't be too much longer. I guess we'll find out in the wash. Right, Reg says, it turns out the PSA test at the Valley on Saturday does not involve a digital insertion, but is a blood test, i.e. just a little prick. This is a relief, as it means the only digital nonsense I have to worry about is that which is on social media from so-called Charlton fans. Honestly, have a look at yourself. If it wasn't for Messrs Mendes and Cawley and Lady Gallup, I'd be off Twitter quicker than our strikers heading for the treatment room. Well, I'm glad that I'm one of the reasons you're still on there. But yeah, it's if you ever find trouble in there, I just mute, block, don't reply, that sort of stuff. You don't have to get involved with conversations like that. But it does bring us kindly on to, you know, talking about the PSA testing, one of the very good community things that the club does. And something else community-minded is coming up, the Upbeats Walk for 2022, coming up on the 23rd of April. Ahead of a home game and a chance, of course, walk from the training ground down here at Sparrows Lane all the way to the Valley, a 9-mile walk, looking to try and raise £30,000 in donation. You get lunch and refreshments included. You could also do it virtually as well. If you can't get to SE7 that day, you could sort of walk around your location if needs be. So have a look on the Charlton website. I mean, it's the first time in a couple of years it'll be back off, obviously, with COVID. Now, if we've been unable to do it last year, it was a virtual one, but because I was at the game, I walked myself to the ground from where I live, quite near the training ground, and it was nice to get out. But it is more fun when there's a lot of people to do it. So you already signed up, ain't you, Nath?
Yeah, already signed up, mate. It's a good laugh. I think we've done it a few times, haven't we? All of us lot, and had some good chats with seeing other walkers and stuff. Passes the time, you know. know, singing songs. I don't know, we'll do whatever. But
just nice for you to get out of the house, really, isn't it, Nath?
Yeah, literally, it gets me out the ass. But I'm with the security of Tom, who's my obviously carer. He helps me along the way, but yeah, no, listen, I'm looking forward to it. You know, it's a really good day. The lads are obviously entertaining, and I don't know if they're playing another match like they usually do, but obviously they'll join in part of the walk, and obviously it's a good cause just to raise some, you know, money for the Upbeats to let, you know, continue the great work that Terry Carl and the rest of the team do. So yeah, really, really looking forward to it. Hopefully my knee holds up, and hopefully we can get some more listeners, and obviously people who don't listen to the pod, but get more of them down there, and we can have a nice chat and talk about our mid-table finish.
Yeah, that'll sum up our injury problems if you're ruled out of the bloody walk. But yeah, that's it. I just realised the last home game as well. So it's the day of the Shrewsbury game, 23rd of April. And Nath, you can tell us as well, because you've been to the Upbeats kitchen. I'm going to try and get there at some point in the next few days. Yeah, what's that all about then? How's the food?
Oh, mate, amazing. So obviously when they first opened, they were just sticking with just keeping it simple, you know, because obviously all the Upbeats are working there. They all get paid and everything like that. So it's all amazing. Not only obviously they're learning life skills and obviously getting out and working and spending their money or whatever. But yeah, no, they started selling soup and they've sort of gradually increased it, and then went there for the last game, and you know, there was an onion bhaji burger which made it onto Twitter and all that jazz. It was brilliant, and obviously they sell beer as well, so yeah, no, it's really
that's
good.
That's
the
real reason you were there, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, I was partial to a beer there, but it's just that the other side of at the other side of the covered end lower, so if you come in, it's towards the east end side, and you can't miss it. And yeah, always there to, they always serve with a smile, and yeah, that's no, brilliant. So great food as well, so if you're peckish, absolutely massive. I brought it over to Tom, he said, can't believe how big that is on the burger. And
I was going to say, thanks for clarifying.
What he hasn't said is that he'd also had a burger just before that as well. Then went down to see the Upbeats, and they tempted him in with his bhaji burger, so he ate that as well.
Tempted, so. Literally, I was like, I don't think I was fearing for my life if I didn't buy one. So I had to buy one and a beer. And then I bumped into Terry, and he was just cracking up about it. But honestly, I ain't just saying it. Everyone might be going, oh, you're just saying that, blah, blah, blah. Honest to God, it was unreal. It was so nice. And it was a onion bhaji burger, which I'm like a bit of a meat eater. Do you know what I mean? I'm not one of these vegetarian people. But I'm telling you, it was unbelievable. And I'll definitely be going back down there on Saturday, see what they've got in store. So I'm looking forward to that.
Lovely. Yeah, I'm hoping to get round. Maybe Saturday. I need to arrange to be taken round there because I'll sit in a different stand. Right, let's look ahead then to the Oxford game. We've been talking about the team news already, but let's learn a little bit more about our opponents. Of course, Oxford have come close to getting promoted the last couple of years, getting into the playoffs, but losing the final was a couple of years ago against Wickham, missing out, of course, last year after losing the semi-final against Blackpool. Of course, their manager is the former Addicts boss, Carl Robinson. Now, to find out a little bit more about Oxford United, then I spoke to Simon from the Fence End podcast and asked him how pleased he has been so far with the season so far.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. We started the season better than we have the last sort of couple of seasons, when we've made the playoffs in previous two seasons on the back of great form at the end of the season, not at the start. This season we started a bit better. It's gone a little bit patchy recently with some defeats, but also some decent wins as well. So it's kind of sadly be an interesting one to see whether we bounce back or whether we're in a little bit of a dip.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, what were the expectations coming into the season? Obviously, we know you've hit the playoffs a few times recently, and not touting the semi-finals last year by Blackpool. Yeah, I mean, were expectations like reaching the playoffs again minimum?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, there's some big clubs with, you know, with Sheffield Wednesday still down here, and Sunderland and Rotherham, you know, are one of those sides that knows what it takes to get out of this division. I think the automatics were perhaps a little bit of not a pipe dream exactly, but I think perhaps just slightly beyond us, but definitely playoffs, you know, based on, like you say, the last two seasons we've made the final and then the semi-final. I think playoffs really are a kind of, yeah, we need to be making the playoffs again.
And what can you tell us then about our former boss, Carl Robinson? He's always been a bit of a character, but he seems to have done a very good job at the Kassam Stadium.
He has, yeah. And, you know, he likes to play nice football. And I think as well, we've been through the ringer a little bit with all sorts of things with the ownership and and COVID and all of that sort of stuff. And he's kind of, in a way, become the face of the club, you know, and the voice of the club. And I think he won a lot of fans over with how he handled stuff. And his man management as well. One of our players lost a very close friend of his recently. And it was like, well, you know, of course, if you're not right in that, absolutely go back home and be with your family and your friends. You know, it wasn't... I think he gets the man management right, and that kind of endears him to the fans as well. And he comes across like a fan on the touchline as well. You know, he's certainly quite demonstrative, shall we say. And I think that kind of endears him to the fans as well. So, he's grown on us, definitely.
Yeah, and what sort of football would you say he played? I mean, he was slightly maligned at Charlton for sometimes sticking to like one rigid formation, but do you feel he's got some tactical awareness to be able to switch things up now?
Yeah, he likes a winger. There's you know, we could quite easily sort of play 4-6 formation and not worry about, you know, midfield. It's he loves a winger and a wide man and an attacking midfielders, and it's... Yeah, I think we do have a, you know, it does change a little bit with the formation. Certainly over the last few weeks, on a couple of occasions, we've played with 3 centre-halves and wing-backs rather than a flat-back 4. So he's definitely shown a little bit more sort of, tactical kind of flexibility recently.
Mm. I mean, you mentioned obviously those 2 defeats in the last couple of games, including that home loss against Bolton last time out. I mean, can you put your finger on where you've just tailed off and why you've just tailed off in the last few weeks?
Yeah, we struggle against big physical sides who you know, put you under pressure. We came unstuck against Wickham as well. And Bolton are a big side. The weather wasn't great at the weekend. And it's the same for both sides, obviously. But if you're up against the side that stops you playing, then we struggle a bit. If you're against the side that likes to try and play a bit of football, it suits us. And I think we just sometimes get a little bit bullied in midfield. And that's happened recently. Alex Gorin, who's been the defensive midfielder that we've relied on over the last couple of years, had a cruciate ligament injury earlier in the season, and we didn't replace him in the transfer window. And one or two people are thinking that might have been a mistake. We brought in some more attacking players, but we didn't bring in that defensive midfielder that you sometimes need in games to kind of get stuck in and win the ball for the ball playing midfielders.
Mm. And so, I mean, looking ahead to Saturday, who are like the most dangerous players that the Charlton fans should be wary of? Obviously, Brannigan's been scoring goals in midfield, and obviously Matty Taylor as well.
Yeah. Taylor, you know, is the man we rely on for goals. But Nathan Holland's been doing well. He's a player that we've had on loan before from West Ham. He's on loan again. He scored some great goals, cutting in from the left and hitting them with his right foot. We've just signed Sam Baldock as well, who's a player that's an Oxford fan. He's kind of coming here at the end of his career, but still with something to offer. So Mark Sykes is a midfielder that recently has started scoring goals. Previous couple of seasons, he had everything apart from goals, and he's now scoring, which kind of makes him the ideal midfielder. And he's someone that we were worried that we might lose in the transfer window, but actually... We kept him, and he's a goal threat as well. Mm.
So, I mean, looking ahead to Saturday, then how do you think Carl will attack this game? Will it be expansive and trying to get into Charlton's faces early?
I think so, yeah. I mean, we like to try and play on the front foot. You know, it's possession based, and try and, you know, play on the ground. But I think sort of attack is the best form of defence, and we're certainly scoring goals. We're conceding too many, but we are scoring goals as well. So I think it will be probably a high scoring game.
Thanks very much to Simon for giving us the lowdown. I mean, always a tough game against Oxford. I think ever since we come into this division, I mean, I remember that horrible game where we were leading 2-1 going into added time and lost 3-2 at the Valley. Tom, that was a particularly tough one. I think we beat them last year, didn't we? We had that 2-0 win. But, you know, we know it's going to be a difficult afternoon. Can't really compare our game with them at the start of the season, because we are a slightly different team to the one that got beaten, was it the second game of the season? But, you know, we're still going to be in for a difficult afternoon, and especially now they've lost the last couple as well. They're going to be a bit wounded.
Yeah, we've got to hope that we just catch them on another bad day and they continue that bad run. They're another team, aren't they? We talked about it a couple of weeks ago that we were going into a difficult spell against the likes of, obviously, Bolton and Wigan, who we've already played, both top 10 sides, and now Oxford. And I think there's another couple coming up, isn't there? Sheffield Wednesday and similar. So, yeah, you were right. They are off the back of two defeats, which, you know, could go one of either way, couldn't it? As you say, they might be a wounded animal that come back and bounce back, or they might be actually just starting a little slump that we can try and capitalise on with our home form being what it is. So, yeah, it's one of those. It's got a little bit of an edge, hasn't it? I don't know if that's just because of Robbo going there as well. And obviously the pair of us have been in this league a while, apart from that one season we had out of it. We feels like one of those teams that we've played a lot over the past few years. So, yeah, they're certainly not going to make it easy for us. I'm sure Carl will want to do us over. I know he's not been our manager for a little while, but yeah, you always want to get one over your old team, don't you? So it's not going to be an easy game. But as I say, our home form is good. We've obviously had a full week to train this week, and we'll just have to see what happens, really. I think that striker issue is going to be the big one that probably will decide the game one way or the other.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing Carl Robinson back. He's just about bearable when you only see him once every 6 months, isn't he, Knife?
Yeah, I wonder what formation he's going to play. But no, but to be fair, like, if we're being honest, he's done a good job there, to be fair. And they are one of the better teams that you play in terms of easy on the eye. They're quick, move the ball well, you know, and it's going to be a tough test, and it's never an easier game against them. But yeah, do you know what, like, what you summed up as well, really, is that he's okay in bits and bobs, you know, like, it's a bit much otherwise, but you know, he's a good coach at this level, and he's still quite young. He's been in the game so long. I think he's up there with one of the longest, the youngest managers that have been in the game or something like that. I can't remember what it is, but yeah, he's good at this level, and his team's good. So we're going to have to be on our A game to try and get a result. And as we said earlier, we don't want it to sort of fall into that sort of end of season, just meh, sort of season, you know. I can't really describe that sound, but you know what I mean. It's just a lot of people are just going to go to see friends and stuff. I say that because I'm going to see Tom, but he probably don't feel the same. But yeah, no, it'd be good.
He was trying to avoid you, he said, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, he always does try to sort of, comes around with some glasses and a fake moustache. I still find it, you know.
Yeah, well, you'd be in the Oak normally, wouldn't you? That's where you normally end up. So yeah, we need to try and find a result to keep Carl Robinson quiet, which, I mean, take some doing that. But anyway, let's hear from Johnny Jackson then. He was asked during press day how pleased he was to be back at the Valley after two away defeats on the spin.
Yeah, always look forward to playing at home in front of our own crowd, and obviously got a strong home record. So we go into every game there confident that we can get a positive result. So it's exactly what we'd be trying to do. You know, realizing that you know, we are up against it a little bit in terms of the guys missing. I think Oxford have got a sort of, from what I understand, a bit of a clean bill of health there to choose from. So, and they got good players, good squad, good manager. So they're in and around it, and obviously victories for them are you know, will propel them into the top six. So they're going to be at it. It's going to be a tough game. We know that they're going to be up for it. Carl's obviously coming back to his former club. He's going to want to win that game, but so are we. And you know, we'll be competitive. We'll be matching them stride for stride, and hopefully come out on the right end of it.
There you go. I mean, interesting one for Jack, obviously, because I mean, his coaching career, Tom, started under Carl. So it's like the master versus his apprentice here. If you're willing to call Carl Robinson a master, done a good job at Oxford.
Yeah, I'm not sure about master, but yeah, he's certainly done all right, hasn't he? And as you say, we've kind of had that little spell where him and Bowyer were under Robbo, then Bowyer comes in and Jacko works under him, then Nigel Atkins was a bit of a left field one, and now it's Robbo coming back to see Jacko taking the reins. So yeah, I'm sure he will have learnt a lot off him. We spoke, I think, the last time I was on about Jacko's determination to stick to this formation, and we talked a little bit about their similarities and differences, and, you know, whether it's a stubbornness or actually an identity, or where that line is between the two. But yeah, it is going to be a tough one. I'm sure he has a lot of respect for Carl Robinson. I'm sure he showed him a lot and taught him a lot whilst he was here. But once the game kicks off, they will just be two managers in the dugouts and he'll want to go and win the game. So yeah, as I said in my last answer, I think, you know, in terms of formation and strikers, really, that's where, for me, the game's going to be decided. I think if we can get an early goal from whoever it is that he decides to play up front, our home record is good and I'd like to think we can kick on. But if we're looking toothless up front, like we have done a little bit recently, then we could be in a bit of trouble. But yeah, it will be interesting to see which way the game goes.
Yeah, certainly will. I mean, one of the decisions that Jacko made last week was obviously to leave Akinfenwo out of the squad completely. He travelled up to Wigan. I saw him there, but he wasn't in the squad. Obviously, we know with the situation with the five loanees, we had the likes of Niall John and Juan Castillo in the squad. And the likes of Jason Pearce, Sam Lavelle on the bench. So it's not completely unexpected that we didn't need a third centre-half on the bench, Nath. But, I mean, were you surprised that he was dropped in the first place? Because, I mean, you have to call it a drop-in. He made that mistake up at Bolton. But, I mean, would he have been the man that you would have taken out? Would you bring him back in for the game coming up Saturday? Or do you want to see Pearce here? I mean, do we know if Lavelle's fit enough to start? Would he come back into it? How would you sort of see that back three? Especially as we have been playing players out of position now. Obviously, we know Sean Clare's done well, had a couple of mistakes recently, and the likes of Ben Perrington playing on the left of that back three, when we do have centre-halves to choose from now.
Yeah, I mean, it was twofold, really. I think, was I surprised to see him drop? Yes, because we didn't really have a natural centre-half to slot in there. But not I wasn't too surprised because he was poor against Bolton. Not only for the mistake, I thought it looked like he played like he was out on the Jaegers the night before for me. And it was poor, and I think he probably did deserve to be dropped in that sense. But whether or not he comes back in Saturday, I suppose it all depends how he's trained and how he's reacted to a poor performance, which we need to do. We need to say to players, if you don't perform, you ain't playing. Especially now that we ain't got nothing to play for. I would imagine he would come back in, but it'd be nice to get Lavelle have some minutes. I don't know if he'll be able to start, but it'd be nice to see him get some minutes. So yeah, it's just, I mean, in terms of Akin, yeah, I don't think he could have really grumbled really at the performance that he'd done against Bolton. But maybe it was a bit left field. But Perrin has played there before. You know, he's usually a steady Eddie, isn't he, Perrington? But, yeah, so we're getting a few more choices. I don't know if Innes is, you know, he's going to play. See how useful he is at set pieces and how bad we've been at set pieces. So could be a key sort of plan of how we're going to score a goal, because it might be that it will just be one set piece that we'll win the game from. Because I would imagine the way that Cole plays, you know, the wingers are played quite high and he's going to try and push off our wing backs, if we do play the 3-5-2, as far back as possible. And they're going to try and dictate the midfield, which I think they've done before when we played them at home. And I don't think Bo was happy about it. I think it was that game. But yeah, I don't know. But I'd be surprised if he's not in the squad, or at least on the bench. Because then otherwise that means that Jacko is really fuming at that performance.
Yeah. I mean, Lee came in for Morgan, obviously, up at Wigan, and I'd say probably took his chance. I think he, you know, scored the goal. I thought he was involved in our better stuff going forward before, you know, the entire team sort of faded second half. I mean, do you keep him out? Do you bring Albie back in? Because he had been playing pretty well himself. Tom?
It's a difficult one. I'm not one for changing the midfield when they're playing well. Obviously, he's brought Lee in off the back of that Bolton game, and fair play to him, he's got his goal. I know I was very critical of him early in the season, didn't really see what he was offering us, but he's come back in, he's taken his chance. And I think that is one of the areas where there is that competition for places. And I think it's the same reason Morgan has stepped up, because, you know, if you have a bad game, you're probably going to be back out the side. So for me, you keep Elliot Lee in now. He's done nothing wrong, as you say, and you tell him to go and build on that and try and get another goal, because whilst you will rotate if there are bad performances, you want these players to try and build momentum when they're in the side. So, yeah, I'd expect that midfield, provided there's no injuries, that midfield to stay the same and try and give some consistency. But, yeah, as I say, and as Nath just said there, it's who starts up front for me that's the interesting one, and what formation Jacko goes for.
Right, well, we will find out on Saturday, of course, when we play Oxford United at the Valley. Right, thanks to those of you who've tuned in to this week's big match preview. We have run out of time. Don't forget, we'll be back on Sunday to look back at that game against Oxford and ahead to next Tuesday's game against Milton Keynes. Don't forget to look out for the chaps in the fans bar after the game, where you can go up to either Benji or Lewis or whoever ends up in there and give your post-match reaction to the game. Get yourself on Sunday's pod, so look out for the chaps there. Thank you to Tom and Nathan for joining me this week. Make sure you enjoy each other's company with your big burgers on Saturday.
Yeah, we'll try. Cheers, I don't know if I'm actually meeting yet. I ain't even asked.
I'm not even there Saturday.
Oh, here we go again.
Cool, man.
Here we go again.
Where are you this time?
At Stag Do.
Oh, nice.
You're the worst.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Your own Stag Do. I would forego a Stag Do to see a home game.
Forego my own Stag.
Yeah.
For Oxford at home in a meaningless game.
Tell the other lads to turn up. You tell them you meet them thereafter. Right, okay. Well, I'm disgusted by the end of this pod, but we will call it a day there. I'm Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening. We shall see you again on Sunday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.